This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Okay, right now I'm talking with a band called Filthy's Eternal, and they recently changed their name from F***ing Bound. They have two new singles on the rake and Zed available now for streaming, and I'm assuming for some sort of album, but we'll be talking about that. So, we got Ra, we got Brian, we got Lisa, and we got Matt. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
Doing good.
Good. Good, man.
You guys just got done practicing, and how's that been going lately? Have you guys been doing practice consistently for the last couple months, or just been getting back into things, or were you guys practicing consistently throughout the whole pandemic?
We took a little time as a break because it was, you know, we came out of a tour on the East Coast, right? We had talked about that previously where we were touring when pandemic hit, and when we came home, everything was so crazy. We took a month or two to kind of assess what was going on, what was going to be the state of things, whether or not we could like safely practice around each other, you know. We had people that we share a practice space with where we had some considerations with them. Some of them work in the health industry, and so we wanted to check with them and see what was okay with everyone in the group. But once we figured out, it was about 2 months, I think, we took off initially to try and sort out the arrangements. And we tried to stay as busy as we could. We wrote some extra stuff and just grinding away the whole time. So, yeah.
So I talked with Brian at the beginning of the pandemic for Loud and Local, and you know, so he gave his experience, but I want to talk with everyone else. So Matt, Ra, and Lisa, you guys were out on the road and played some of the last big shows that I remember seeing. I remember seeing pictures and videos of you all playing in New York City, and that was like maybe a day or two right before everything shut down. What was your experiences like being? It must have been pretty wild coming over, you know, from Canada into the United States as things started to get wacky.
Yeah,
it was stressful.
Stressful is definitely the right word. It was very chaotic because we were hearing about COVID before tour. We're like, is this going to affect things? But we're also going to proceed with caution and continue to go along with things as planned. And hopefully things didn't get too crazy once tour was over. That was basically our general process. But then we started noticing COVID ramping up in other countries, and then eventually the first outbreak was in Seattle. And that was like, that happened while we were in, I forget what show we were playing. I think we're in Baltimore. That was like day 4 or 5 of tour. And we're like, oh, wow. Well, and then from then on, it was as if we were on the road and people knew we were the band from Seattle. And they were like,
oh. Don't touch them.
Basically, it was a lot of elbows from then on until our very last show at St. Vitus in New York.
Yeah,
it was surreal. Just seeing how shows, knowing that specific shows were definitely promoted well and would have been heavily attended had there not been a pandemic emerging. But we had no idea what was going to happen, you know. So it was really weird. But we kept going because we were already...
You're just in it.
We're in it. We're in the thick of it. We're just like, until there was... Until it was like said across the board, you can't do this anymore. We're just going to go ahead and...
Well, because you don't know. You don't... You when you're on the road and you're hearing friends from Seattle that are texting you and they're giving you... Even people in Seattle were kind of still confused about what this was, you know, the extent of it. And so nowhere, anywhere did anyone have a real inclination for how severe or serious it was. And I think it was New York when they did... We rode into, it was the rental company, Brian.
We had a backline with Mesa Boogie through SIR.
It was in that moment when we got to that city, and I swear the energy shifted. And that day they declared state of emergency. I can't even describe it, but it was surreal is the best way to describe it. Mm-hmm. There was like tumbleweeds and like it was like blowing down the street in New York and there was like nobody anywhere. And inside of SIR, they were saying, we're all going to not have a job probably within a few days. I remember them saying that and that resonated. And so that night when we played the show at St. Vitus, it's like we knew. I think we all knew that was the real moment that everything became very real. And that was the difference. It went from a thing that we were all talking about and seeing on the news or getting a text message from a friend to like, oh no, this is real. And then subsequently, we had a show cancel after that and we got stuck in Jersey, but that's another story.
Yeah. I went into full blown panic mode and a part of me felt like we weren't even going to be able to get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just had no idea
that's right.
What was going to happen. There are so many logistics in place.
From
getting backline.
The van.
The van rental. These are all in different states.
We flew into Jersey where we were staying. We had to go to Philly to pick up the van. We had to drive to New York to get the gear. We had to go back to Jersey. Because the road cases the gear company gave us didn't fit in the van.
Oh, my God.
So we had a storage space in Jersey to get the road cases. Oh, and then we had the band staying there. And then we had to start the tour.
And that's how imagine how we had to end it. The same.
Oh, my God.
We had to do all that in reverse with COVID happening. And we didn't know if we were having flights back home.
We had no idea what was going to happen. But we made it work.
We made it work. Yeah.
We made it work just in time before. Everything started taking a shift towards shutdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A day or two later, we might be living in New York, you know?
No, let's be clear. We'd be in Jersey.
We'd be in Jersey.
Right.
For
sure.
Anyway. I was listening to this interview with this other day with this rapper named Hobson, and he was saying when things shut down, he's in Thailand, just like living over there, and so he couldn't fly over here, so he literally just lived in Thailand for like a year, and was like, okay, this is where I am now.
A lot of people.
Happened to my friend in Australia.
Holy crap!
He had a way to come back, but he had to come back a specific date. He had some prior engagements because of his work. And because he missed that date, they're essentially like, okay, you're stuck here. We can't give you... it got really complicated for him because he had visa issues that kept him from then working past a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
But he was also stuck and couldn't come back to the States.
Crazy.
So we had this like weird limbo period of just... essentially being homeless in Australia.
Yeah.
It was really bizarre.
Boy.
He's back now, but it was just weird to see that and hear that from him. But everyone had a unique experience once COVID hit.
Yeah.
You know, talking. I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Yeah. Considering everything, can't complain. I built this studio out or it's not really a studio, it's a room. And it was a room underneath the stairs that my roommate was using for 3D printing, just a random room. And so I built this into a little studio for recording and stuff and doing my thing, you know, just trying to get by. And I actually realized while you were talking about this, while we were all talking about this, I actually feel kind of embarrassed to ask you about this experience because I should have checked, because what I realize now is that, you know, what I just perceive as like a good interview content is actually traumatizing for you all. So I'm asking you to specifically relive this traumatic experience good interview content. It's good.
It's actually cathartic.
Okay.
Especially now that we're about to see a shift and change in the tide of industries reopening, reemerging, mm-hmm. back to whatever normalcy, whatever that means.
There's a real bookend because of that.
Yeah.
To bookend in such a way is interesting.
Yeah.
And the reality is we only lost one show on that tour. We played, you know, I think like 10 days. And we had our 11th show was the one that got canceled. And then we just had our logistics loop. But we learned a lot. That was a big, you know, it sounds really stressful, but it was a big learning experience for us. It was our first tour flying somewhere and doing the whole coordinating back line and van and stuff. So there was a lot of like positive that came out of that tour. We got to see all of our friends on the East Coast that we don't always get to see. And then we learned quickly how to do that stuff pro level in a stressful environment. So that was a very positive outcome for that.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And if you can make it happen during those stressful circumstances, then imagine when everything comes together perfectly, how fucking badass it's going to be.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be a breeze in comparison.
So I keep seeing, you know, videos. I saw a video from an outdoor show in like Richmond yesterday. I see some shows from all over, you know, these kind of like DIY outdoor shows or like indoor shows that just get cram packed. It seems like there's so much energy to get back to shows and like, you know, a lot of mixed bills with like just all kinds of different heavy bands together. How excited are you all to just get back in there and throw down?
So can I tell a quick story about my roommate? My roommate just threw a show a couple weekends ago, and it was Noroff.
Shout out Metal Mike.
Just a generator powered death metal show under a bridge down on First Ave, and he said like 300 plus heads turned out, and it was absolute pandemonium. And it was like the first big metal show since things were starting to reopen.
Yeah.
And people were just like going absolutely insane. And he said there was also a rave under the same bridge, just like
where's
a few feet away.
What's up?
It was literally they all showed up at the same time and started setting up, and they kind of had a moment where they're like, this is awkward. Like, we kind of had a thing planned here, and they're like, oh, we kind of had a thing planned too. Well, I guess we're just going to all do our thing at the same time. And the ravers, I guess, all came over to the death metal show as well. And it was just an absolute insanity, but yeah.
I love that.
It sounded like a...
Who books under the bridge? You know, like, who do you talk to book under the bridge?
The troll. You got to pray the troll.
Yeah.
You know, when you said that, Matt, it reminded me of that like GIF or that video of those like goth ravers dancing. I just pictured them like doing that to the like death metal bands. Like, that's sick.
You know what I really like is the bats where they turn the bats right side up. So it looks like they're just walking like normal people. And it says like, bats turned right side up looks like goth kids dancing at a club or something like that.
I'll have to check that out.
And there's like Joy Division playing in the background. Nice. So the bats are like bum 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 bum.
So speaking of raves, I don't know, this is totally off topic, but the old Studio 7 is now like a dance club called Supernova. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah, I heard about that.
It looks nice, dude. That.
Really?
I did not know this information.
Someone asked me about Studio 7 recently. How's Studio 7 doing? And I was like, what?
Yeah. Like,
the definition of grimy.
Yes, it was. It's dead.
So what do they got at Supernova now, Kev? What's going on?
DJs and drink specials.
Are they interested in live music, or are they
that? Yeah, that, exactly, Matt. I don't know. I don't know. Hit up Supernova at supernovadance.com. No, I don't. I have no. I have no idea. I literally just saw the sign because I was passing by there. But so maybe get the first Filth Is Eternal show. Speaking of, see what I did there? A little transition.
pretty good. Hey.
So we got to talk name change. The name was Bound. The new name is Filth is Eternal. I'm sure you guys have talked about this before in interviews, but I got to do my journalistic duty and ask, what was the reason for the name change?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it was kind of two lanes. One, there's so many new members from Suffrage at this point. Brian and I are the only ones that, you know, original, and it's, we got three different members, and I said three, so that's going to probably pique some curiosity. But yeah, it's just it's a different lineup, and the sound, the feel, energy's different. That's part of it. And the other part was, I think, just the combination of words we decided to put together caused us a lot of difficulty and challenges. Every 60 to 70% of the stuff we were putting out there was getting taken down. And, you know, for a long time we were like, you know, whatever, doesn't matter, we're just going to keep on doing it, blah blah blah. But after a while we were just like, look, with the direction we're heading and the new members and the different feel and the fact that, you know, we can make this one change, what do we want to do? And this conversation went on for what, over a year,
over
at
a year.
Least it was, it went on forever.
We've been tossing it around for a little while.
Yeah, it was a while, and we finally just collectively, really organically, came to that choice. And everyone around us was like, don't do it. Even the people closest to us on our team, they're like, yeah, who cares? No. At the end of the day, we just knew it was the right thing to do. We felt it was right, and we just went with it.
Yeah.
Well, I remember hearing, like, I was reading some sort of, like, grunge book or something, and I remember reading that, like, I think Soundgarden was called before they called Soundgarden, and then the conversation was like, okay, well, we kind of want to take this, you know, take some different opportunities that aren't being awarded to us because, you know, we're called so they changed it to Soundgarden. But my question for
that's a great band name.
Exactly. I mean, obviously there's the band F***ed Up, who is, you know, done really well for themselves and whatnot, but is it limiting professionally, or, you know, as an artist, is it limiting to have a band like name like F***ing Bound? What's your experience with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. It was one of those things where when we started the band, you know, it was just kind of a reaction. We weren't sure how long it was going to last. So
it was going to be a short burst.
We didn't necessarily think about making like a bunch of records under that moniker. You know, we were like, hey, here's this thing. And it was sort of a reaction. And it was like, you know, we put out a 7-inch like live at Black Lodge, and we're like, I don't know, we may do, that's it. That might be it. But, you know, we had a lot of fun, and people seemed to keep wanting to come to shows. Yeah. So we kept booking them. And then, you know, over time, as we got to build those contacts, it was great to like work with more and more people. But we started realizing too, some of the people that we were working with, like if we got our name on a festival and they put us on a poster, then everything the festival posted with our name on it would get flagged or something. Mm. So it was like, it's no longer about just us. Our name is starting to affect other parts of the operation that we work with. And it was, it would be one thing if it wasn't so extreme on how socials and how like search engines handle that kind of filtering, but they're aggressive about it.
Yeah. And I would take it a step further. It'd be one thing if we were just hell bent on keeping that name. If that was the case, we'd be like, who cares? Yeah. We're gonna do this. But the fact is, you know, it reflects a period of time early on, and it reflects a project that I think all of us meant to kind of be a short burst and kind of be regional. Since everything changed, since everything, you know, kind of went in a different direction, I don't think we felt attached to it as much as other people thought we were.
Sure.
And so at the end of the day, that's where that decision came from.
Yeah.
Wasn't so precious then.
You did mention F***ed Up and how they had their opportunities. I think a lot of it has to do with F***ing Bound intentionally has a sexual connotation, disturbing on top of everything else. And that right there limits who we're projected towards for like marketable purposes. I'm sure there's core grind bands with like way more
options.
I don't even need to get into that. But that's not the reason why the name was came up. There's like a bigger reason beyond the name, stemming from social I want to say, yeah, mostly social political purposes. And so with that intact, we knew that we just needed to change. We had had the conversation for almost a couple of years.
And also, filth is eternal just sounds nasty.
It's a sick name.
It just sounds nasty.
We know that both names are good. They're both powerful. Yeah. And like, I personally think filth is eternal is a better name.
It sounds crusty. Like when I hear that name, if I weren't in the band, I'd be like, oh, that sounds like a crust band. I want to check them out.
I mean, it could sound like anything, really.
Yeah.
It's and that's exactly where we're coming from now.
Yeah.
We've evolved so much from, especially with the addition of Matt in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you
join in the band and, you know, the sound, the dynamic, the energy that we produce is change the course of things. And so it was just the right decision.
And we finally had enough time to do it, too. It was one of those things where if we were, like, in the middle of a cycle, it would be really difficult to kind of change.
Sure.
But we had a little time to sit and figure out a game plan. And so we were like, you know, if we're gonna do it, we might as well. So, you know, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's pretty rad that it wasn't just, you know, okay, we're thinking about changing our names. It's like one day it just like switched over, everything switches over, and you put out a single that same time. It was like, here we go, let's fucking go.
That's right.
Send it.
Exactly. So you did come out with the song called Zed. And like you were saying, it was a different sound almost. You know, I'm not a musician, so I can't go into the, like, you know, specific musical, you know, things or everything, but it sounded a little different to me, to my ear, maybe a little bit more mid-tempo, slower, more rock and roll kind of almost. Old stuff was a lot more like grinding, pure in your face, like loud, gnarly experience for, you know, the listener. Is this the direction that you guys are going, a little bit more experimental? Even
I would say
a hardcore,
because we still have that like aggression. Mm-hmm. We still have speed, songs, and we still have the speed implemented in the songwriting.
Some of them are faster than they've been before.
Yeah, of them are definitely faster than they've been before. I just think the dynamics are curated more carefully now, and as before, there's probably, you know, the songwriting was like, writing some songs, this fits a template, this is what we're doing, it's angry, it's pissed off, it's fast, it's furious, it's punk, it's ferocious, but now we're diving into all these other elements, but still maintains like the authenticity of the band. We've kind of formulated our own sound.
And part of it too is like, you know, with the new lineup where we got Matt and Ron in the band, like one thing we do a lot is like nerd out on like death metal and stuff. Matt's got Reburied, which is a great band. Mm-hmm. You know, Ron playing, coming from Cattle Decap, like getting access to more of that influence as far as like, these guys are great musicians. We wanted to draw some of that heavy in, and we wanted to write different kinds of heavy songs going forward. You know, we can clearly do punk and hardcore, but it's like, we also love a lot of other great kinds of heavy stuff, you know? So, yeah.
And then Lisa and Brian, you guys have the influence from like kind of post-hardcore from the He Who's Ox Is Gored years and that material. Do you think we'll ever hear some of that kind of stuff implemented into the Filth Is Eternal?
I've definitely been talking to the guys about maybe triggering some real small, nuancey little, samples here and there. It's an idea. You know, if we're going to implement it, I would say the new batch of material is the time to do it.
Yeah.
But like little tasty tidbits. It's not going to ever be like, you know, overwhelming since...
We're not going math rock just yet.
Yeah, we're not going math rock. But I do like the idea of us. I think we're all very open into just changing and evolving our sound and not being stuck with that, you know, the same sort of formula. There's nothing formulaic about what we've done so far in the continuum of this outfit. Mm-hmm. So I'm always interested. And I think everyone agrees in pushing you know, the limits and trying to think outside the box on how we're going to move forward. So
absolutely.
Yeah. It's got to be kind of a liberating feeling once you kind of break that and just realize like everyone gets on the same page of let's just do whatever we want, right?
Yeah.
100 We were having that conversation today.
Yeah. That's true. That's kind of how we roll. We do what we want.
We learned a while ago it's best like for if you want to like make some art, you know, to just do what you're going to do. And when you're working with labels or whatever, you just drop it in their lap. This is what it is.
Yep.
This is what we want to do. We want to explore. We want to try some new stuff. And there it is.
A sick riff is a sick riff, man.
You like sick riffs? I got all these
riffs.
And you know what? As long as we get
riff.
Stuff done, he doesn't care. Mike Messina, he's our manager. He's always calling, texting, like, all right, did you get that done? Did you get that done? Yes.
As long as you got it done.
Yes. Oh, industry filth is eternal. We got, okay, cool, man. Yeah.
We got someone kicking us in our ass.
That's all that means, yeah.
Okay, nice. That's cool, man. So, yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the new material we mentioned. So Zed, and then you recently released On the Rake. And you know, these two songs, I'm going to have to ask, you know, the obligatory question, is this an EP coming out? Is this going to be a full length, or you just kind of tease and throw in singles out there?
Yeah.
It's a full length.
Loaded ones off the record. So yeah.
Yeah. Zed was a song that we recorded as part of the album that's coming out, but it was different enough that we wanted to make it its own statement. And just like, it was a great opportunity, like we were talking about, to explore a little bit of a different direction. And we felt like it was valid and we wanted to give it to people. We wanted to show this track to people. We wanted to give this to people. Because one thing is when we're playing fast all the time, it's nice to give people a mid-tempo break. But we hadn't done that a lot with the material up to this point. And so it was like, hey, here's a nice, like, get familiar with this, work out your mosh parts, because you know they're coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and as we got ready to put out this new record, we thought this was, like, a nice warm-up. We wanted to let everyone know that, like, we're going to do some different things with this, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And are you going to be self-releasing it, or is it going to be on a new label, or...?
This is on a label called Quiet Panic.
Cool.
We've been working with them for a little bit with our guy Mike Messina,
yep.
Who's helping us manage and helping put out the release as well. They dropped the single for us. They put out Zed. We got to work with our guy Robert Cheek, who recorded Suffrage, and yeah. Blake Bickle, who did all the production on that record. So we recorded this batch of material. We got it all lined up. And that is dropping. The album is coming out August 27th.
Ooh.
Love is Alive, Filth is Eternal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we got to work with Tad on Zed, so I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. That got a little extra production. It's fun to go see Tad. Go see our boy.
Yes. That's awesome.
Such a
Tad, heaviest riffs in the Northwest.
That's right.
I just talked to him today, actually. He's doing nice. Good. I love him.
The Witch Ape. So my question for you is, will there be a song called Filth is Eternal on the album Filth is Eternal by the band Filth is Eternal? Do you have the name,
yeah.
Filth is... Is that,
yeah.
Real? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
we
all
do.
I want to say on the air. Filth is Eternal with the song Filth is Eternal off the album.
We did it.
Love
we
is
did
alive,
it.
Filth is Eternal.
Awesome. Fun fact, it's 4 minutes and 20 seconds. So.
Perfect. I like it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Dude.
We My looked at it again and we're like, oh, that's perfect. Nice. We didn't even plan it that way. So good.
So just a couple more questions for you guys, and we're going to pivot a little way from, you know, typical band questions. I want to know, so you guys are a hard, heavy, you know, gnarly band. People see the name Filth is Eternal. They see you live. They probably be like, damn, they're gnarly. These guys must only listen to, you know, the most heavy of metal. But I know that's probably not true. What is one artist that you love that people might be surprised about, that like the members of this, like, you know, blasting hardcore band like? And Brian, we can start with you.
Me? Oh,
yeah.
Let's see. What's a good one lately? You know,
I got mine, and you guys are gonna steal it. You guys go before me.
You rocking Enya, or
here's one I got just because I got my record pile down here.
Sure.
I got one that I love. I always go to Calm Trues, Synthwave.
Okay. Cool.
Just a great producer. I love their work. Yeah.
Calm truths. All right. Ra, what about you, man?
Man, there's so much music that I listen to.
I know. You listen to so much stuff.
You're talking about something that people would be surprised by.
I feel like they wouldn't be surprised by you because you always post about some fun stuff that you're dancing to on your Instagram. Unless you don't follow him, but at your work, you're always dancing to something fun. So anyways.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it can be dancey, it can be esoteric, it can be weird, strange. Love a lot of heavy music, but I think an artist that people probably wouldn't think I love so much. I really, really like Katy Perry a lot.
Okay.
Like, I love a lot of pop music, but Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, woo!
Has a lot of really, really catchy moments. A lot of instrumentation is like beautiful to me. Nice. And yeah, it's not even, you know, a lot of people say guilty pleasure.
There are no guilt in that.
About that at all. It's just,
you just like
some
it.
People might be surprised. They're like, oh, wow, Katy Perry. Okay. But
it's only a guilty pleasure unless you like fully own it. Like if you own it and you strut in that room and you're like, yeah, I'm jamming Katy Perry. What?
Exactly.
What do you jam, Matt? What's your artist, unexpected artist?
I've been on a Deftones kick lately.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like wholly unexpected from me, but Deftones and you know, the new Cannibal Corpse, of course. Yeah. I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of hip hop as well, like Dreamville and the new DaBaby dropped a couple new tracks recently that I've been jamming. And yeah,
right on, Lisa.
I don't know. I just made sure I pull it up because I always, my mind goes blank. But I've been into just anything kind of avant-garde, weirdy, like weird kind of whatever. But Disfig, Maral, I think I'm pronouncing right, Maral, really into that artist. And then I'm kind of getting into some really like strange dub. So Stillhead. Okay. I keep putting these artists out there and I make these lists, playlists of just random things I've been coming across. But yeah, the weirder the better. Just like you have weird music that you want anyone out there listening, throw it at me. Like I just want to absorb it. That's what I'm into right now.
Lisa's over here with some Sun Ra or something. It's getting weird, dude.
I love Sun Ra. I mean, absolutely.
The weirder the place. Okay, right on. Okay, so another question that might take a little time to think out, and I'm just going to throw this out there. No prep here. Obviously, the last year and a few months has been crushing, and has been, you know, such a morale crusher. But there's been, you know, little successes here and there, and some positives in our personal lives and whatnot. Not to speak for you, but I guess speak for yourself. What is one thing that you're super that was a super positive thing that happened in your personal life, or, you know, could be the band. So one thing that happened in your life that was super positive in the last year and, you know, since the pandemic. Ra, let's start with you, Ra.
Oh, wow.
Or something that you're thankful for, at least.
I like this. This is a cool
actually
question.
This is a really neat question.
Yeah.
I think I have a pretty good answer for it. And it's very typical, but very, very thankful for my band. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was like one of the saving graces during last year. The fact that a lot of the bands they were too afraid to like practice or like try to make things work. And even now bands are finally starting to come back out. And okay, the tide is changing. We gotta like, shows are emerging. We gotta get out there and
Get tight.
We got to make it work.
Yeah.
The fact that we've been doing that since May of last year.
Yeah.
Like we could have easily, especially with, like you said, the traumatic experience that we had with the tour, coinciding with like COVID rampaging throughout the entire world. Like, I feel like a lot of bands would have just been like, okay, I need a 6-month sabbatical. But the fact that we gave ourselves 2 months to like reflect and heal and then get back mm-hmm. to what we do best. And the fact that we were able to like make some conscious decisions with the name change, and you know, with music preferences and changes within that, it was you know, I think I'm really thankful for that. It kept me going. It kept me sane. And it kept my creative mind in a better state than it could have been. 10 out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll say I'm thankful. I started a new job. I spent a long time last year unemployed. I was unemployed for 5 or 6 months after my last job, and I was nervous. Boy, I was worried. I was sweating. Oh, my God. Oof. I was worried.
Yeah.
But I got to start a great job at a new company. I'm working at Roland,
the
musical instrument retailer or a manufacturer, and I get to work with artists and with people that just want to make music, and I'm doing customer service, and you know what? I just really like it because I get to talk to people whose goal is to make music.
Yeah.
And that just means something to me. That means a lot to me. So I'm like really grateful for that opportunity to be able to work with musicians. So
it really is a positive thing when you actually believe in a company you work for, right?
Yeah. So. And you know what? It's funny. I do a customer service. Sometimes people are upset and I'm like, you know what? They're upset because they just want to make music. And I'm like, that's fine with me. I get that. Yeah. Like that's a personal motivation of mine. So I'm never like, you know, worried about that. So
could be worse.
Feeling thankful.
Absolutely. And Lisa, what about you?
Oh, I feel thankful for so many things. Mm-hmm. This has been a real tricky year, you know, for a lot of people. I've definitely struggled. I've hit some major points of, you know, some major lows. And but I do want to say thank you to, there's a few things. I'll make it quick. My band, of course. I'm very, very, very grateful for the people who helped me. I don't want to go into too much detail, but we were helping run a space, and there's some people who stepped up and we're able to kind of help take on that responsibility.
Transition,
and that was a huge
yeah.
baton passover.
Awesome. Yeah.
That being able to hand that over and being able to focus on less things and not have all those things on the plate was a huge relief. And then last but not least, there's been a couple people who've reached out to me that have been really helping me work through some serious stuff. More on the mental and the, you know, the physical and connecting things. Yeah. So I just, they know who they are, and I just want to say how much I love them. And you know, we're all just doing our best to try to get through this bizarre universe we all share. With that, I'll hand it over to our dear bud over here, Maddie Chan.
Mr. Matt.
Matt, is it your cat? Or is that what you're thankful for? Is it your cat that's hanging out with you?
Oh, him?
Oh, my God.
That's the fifth member.
That's a cute overload. Baby boy.
So cute.
All right, Matt. What's something
you're I'm pretty thankful
for?
I'm pretty thankful for this little bastard.
Yeah.
Man, he's constantly getting in fights and getting hurt. He's hurt right now. He's like got this abscess on his ear. And it's like he just healed from a bite on his leg. Anyway, that aside, yeah, I'm thankful for Miles, but you know, really, I'm really thankful, and I got to give myself kind of a shout out because, you know, I stayed sober through the whole fucking pandemic.
That ain't easy.
No, it wasn't. And you know, I worked really hard on my mental health and stuff too. And, just took some time, you know, I think the lockdown was really good for me in a sense where I was able to actually like slow down and go to therapy and sober up and just like, get my together, you know, and,
That's huge.
It's been a big year for me. It's been a really big year for me. And I've been through some highs and lows, like Lisa was saying. Some low lows. And, you know, we've all come out on the other side at this point. And I'm just proud, you know, man, again, kind of touching on what Ross said, is I'm very thankful for my band, because that's also partially what kept me sober and kept me going. So,
love you.
That's right.
I'm
proud of that work. That's real.
Badass.
Much love, BBs.
We love you.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I feel like we've really kind of, this has become like band therapy hour. This is pretty deep. It's getting pretty deep, you know? We ain't just talking about the new singles now.
I mean, you don't play in a hardcore band if you're not kind of fucked up. That's just kind of, you know?
Exactly. You don't play hardcore because you're normal.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Well, my last real question for you, and this is a question we ask all bands we talk to, and if you can show it, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar, and show it to the camera if you can, if it's not too vulgar.
This is good. Kevin,
which one are we gonna do?
I've got
all right, Matt, let's start with you.
I've got one.
We're going around.
You can't, yep. I don't know if you can see it. There's a tiny little bald spot in my beard right here.
Okay.
It's tiny, but I had a huge gash right here from a cone. This kid in third grade ran up and like soccer goal kicked a cone. And the cone just went flying and just smacked me right in the chin and damn near knocked me out cold. And I had a huge gash on my chin and stuff. And I've had the scar since third grade.
Yeah. Did you lose any teeth?
No, it just tagged me right here on the chin. So it was just kind of a bink, you know, right on the jaw.
What you got? I got something.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, what do you got? Like, come up to the camera. Let's show it.
This is about 4 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 years ago. So right here.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
You see it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. I went hiking. Actually, the whole story is hilarious. I went hiking with my coworker at the time.
Okay.
And I'm making fun of him because he has his first aid kit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what are you doing? He's like, first aid kit. You never know what's going to happen. And I'm like, what?
Yeah,
we're just
right.
hiking Mount Si. It's fine. This is like a casual hike. And walking down hours later, I slipped on a branch. It fell on my arm, and part of the branch went into my arm. And was able to not get infected because my friend had his first aid kit
that you were clowning on him for.
Like, oh, we got to. Let me get it situated. I was like, of course. I was like making fun of you 2 hours ago. And now here you are like helping me get this like remnant.
Medic!
I couldn't get stitches, by the way. That's why it left a pretty decent scar. See that there?
Yep.
Yeah. Left a pretty decent scar because when I went to emergency room, they're basically like, okay. We're just going to have to let this air dry. There's so much like dirt and tree branch in your cut. If we were to give you stitches, it would get an infection.
Ugh.
So
it's like, we got to leave the tree in there.
Yeah. Basically like you, it's kind of like
all these tree bits.
Yeah. It's like, we could basically clean it out, but it had to be like, I basically covered it up and, then I would wash it and recover it up for like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then it healed to this nice little scar here. But it was pretty gnarly when it first happened.
It sounds like it
hit the bone.
Oh.
It was gnarly. Like, I was just talking about like Aesop Rock and Aesop Rocky. I remember the conversation. I was like, Aesop Rocky is fine, but Aesop Rock, it's where it's a and then just
tree
branch hit the bone, instant shock, just laid there. And then my friend had his first aid kit, And then people were definitely laughing at me as they were like walking down Mount Si. Anyhow, that's one of many scars. There's like some other skateboarding scars I got, but that's the most recent one.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, Lisa, let's go with you, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, come on, Lisa.
I have
get up
so
here.
Many, and they're all stories I should not be sharing.
Okay. All right. All right.
I mean,
what is this?
Hello, my name is Lisa, and I'm an alcoholic. There's a scar here that you can't see because there's bright light.
Yeah, yeah.
But I drank like 30 beers one night, and because I thought that would be a good idea. And then I think I just like smashed a wine bottle. I mean, I remember this in like frames. And then I just thought it would be funny to cut myself with it.
Iggy Pop so, style. Wow.
Yeah, that may not make it into the segment, but
definitely made an impression at that party. I remember that.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, I'm okay. Don't worry, everybody. All your children at home, it's going to be all right. Brian,
did you get stitches from it, or?
I didn't need any stitches. I'm good.
All right.
I'm a tough girl. What
she
do you
just
got?
She just kept moving.
I just kept moving. I was fine. Throw a blanket on
it. This one, you might be able to see it, maybe, but it's also still fresh, too, because this is a repeat one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I have this move during one specific song that we play sometimes where I just take, I headbutt the guitar. But what it's done over time is there's just a split right here that just pops right open at the end of that song. And it's still a little fresh from practice. I don't do it all the time, but I have one that just splits right open.
He's got a forehead like Nate Diaz.
That's right.
Brian, I don't know if you've realized this, but like no one's watching. It's just practice.
You need a certain kind of sound in that song that only comes from headbutting the thing.
Okay. Hey, I'm not judging. You know, I'm just saying, you know, we need you. Hey, at least, you know, for me, it would be a little bit more evident, but at least you got a little hair to go over it. So.
All right.
For a little bit.
Kevin, look, show us your scar. I want to see your scar.
All right.
And give us your story.
Well, let me see here. Can't really. Okay. Well, I got a tattoo over it, but there was a scar right around here.
And so you can't really see it, but it was a scar. So when I was a kid, I had a friend named Pete, and we were wrestling on his bed, just as little kids do. And he had braces, and his braces got caught in my arm skin.
Oh, no, I hate that.
And it ripped, and it opened up my arm. And I put a Band-Aid over it. It was nasty. You know, he had literally had his skin, my skin in his braces.
He's like, pulling on it. Like,
and then later, when I had the Band-Aid on, we were still being dumbasses because we didn't realize what we were doing. And we were jumping on his bed, and I fell. When jumping, I fell onto a metal fighter pilot toy right into the wound that stabbed the open braces wound.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
Yeah, so...
That's brutal.
I kind of wish I wouldn't have gotten tattooed over it, but I didn't even realize that was the exact spot. But that is one. Also, another one is on my belt line, I had a humongous MRSA staph infection that was just like...
That is no joke.
Yeah, I thought I was going to die because I like went on... Of course, I go on to like WebMD and they're like, MRSA could kill you.
I remember that.
I'm like, no.
I remember that, man. I remember when you had MRSA. You were freaking out.
Yeah. That was a weird time.
And I would have been too.
You could get that from a gym. You could get from anywhere. Like a hot tub. You could like touch any surface. So it's easier to get than people realize. Obviously, I've never had it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well, filth is eternal.
That's right.
Yo.
Yeah. All right. So transitioning into shows, things are opening up. Shows are happening. We were talking about that at the beginning. You guys have any shows you can talk about? Yeah. Any gigs you want to throw out there yet?
Yeah, we have two right now that are announced. We're playing August 7th in Bremerton at the Charleston. It's our first official show back with Generation Decline.
They are awesome.
There's nothing. You are, and you are DR. So that's going to be a blast. We love it. The Charleston's always great. Generation
Punk venue.
Runs
yep.
the space. That's a party. 100%.
Yeah, it's going to be a ripping rager.
Ripping rager. Ripper's got a rip, you know?
That's right. Yep.
Ripper's got a rip.
Perfect show to get back to the swing of things. And yep. just, the energy is going to be just right.
Absolutely.
I can't wait. I love the Charleston. Everyone there.
That's right.
They're such good people. Can't wait to see Generation Decline.
Hell
great
yeah.
Band.
Yeah.
Great band, great people.
And the other show that we have announced is we're playing with These Arms Are Snakes and yeah. Death Moth at Numo's August 28th.
Sold out.
Sold out.
So you got to scalp that one if you want to try to get in, fools.
What do? They normally release some tickets maybe day of?
I think.
Maybe day of?
Sometimes day of, sometimes week of.
Mm-hmm.
You get like a unlimited amount that they sell, but yeah.
Keep your ear to the street for that one. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a cool show to see.
Either scalp a ticket or sneak past Viking Tom when his back's turned, but
don't do that last move.
You said it, not me.
He will catch you.
He will body slam.
He will catch you. He's body slammed me.
He is a Viking.
Very real.
Dude, he'll throw you down those stairs back there.
He's also done that, yes.
Well, it's been so awesome to catch up with you guys. It's awesome. I can't wait to see you guys in person. Again, new the like name of the
buddy.
Band. Yeah, new name of the band is Filth Is Eternal. So follow them on all social medias. You can check out their new singles, On the Rake and Zed. I'm assuming there's no pre-order stuff up yet, or is there?
Pre-orders are up right now for Love Is Live, Filth Is Eternal. We have different vinyl configurations depending on if you're European. If you live in Europe, we have our label Church Road has some color-specific variants over there. And in the States, Quiet Panic has about three different vinyl options available as well.
All right. Well, thanks. Get on those pre-orders and get yourself some sexy vinyl and support local music, support heavy music. Any final words for the listeners now?
Keep it filthy.
Filth Is Eternal.
Filth.
That's right.
No proof, no fear, only blind to carry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.